భూమే సురేతరవరు తవిమర్దితాయ. భూమే సురేతరవరు తవిమర్దితాయ. క్లేశవ్యయాయ కలయాసిత కృష్ణ కేశ. క్లేశవ్యయాయ కలయాసిత కృష్ణ కేశ. జాత కరిష్యతి జనానుపలక్ష్య మార్గః. జాత కరిష్యతి జనానుపలక్ష్య మార్గః. కర్మాణి చాత్మమహిమోపనిబంధనాని. కర్మాణి చాత్మమహిమోపనిబంధనాని. భూమే సురేతరవరు తవిమర్దితాయ. క్లేశవ్యయాయ కలయాసిత కృష్ణ కేశః. జాత కరిష్యతి జనానుపలక్ష్య మార్గః. కర్మాణి చాత్మమహిమోపనిబంధనాని. భూమే సురేతరవరు తవిమర్దితాయ. క్లేశవ్యయాయ కలయాసిత కృష్ణ కేశః. జాత కరిష్యతి జనానుపలక్ష్య మార్గః. కర్మాణి చాత్మమహిమోపనిబంధనాని. భూమే సురేతరవరు తవిమర్దితాయ. క్లేశవ్యయాయ కలయాసిత కృష్ణ కేశః. కరిష్యతి మీనింగ్ భూమే ఆఫ్ ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ సుర ఇతర అదర్ దాన్ గాడ్లీ పర్సన్స్ వరుథ సోల్జర్స్ విమర్దితాయ డిస్ట్రెస్డ్ బై ద బర్డన్ క్లేశ మిజరీస్ వ్యయాయ ఫార్ ద మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ డిమినిషింగ్ కలయా ఎలాంగ్ విత్ దిస్ ప్లెనరీ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ సీతకృష్ణ నాట్ ఓన్లీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ బట్ ఆల్సో బ్లాక్ కేశ విత్ సచ్ హెయిర్స్ జాత హ్యావింగ్ అపియర్డ్ కరిష్యతి వుడ్ యాక్ట్ జన పీపుల్ ఇన్ జనరల్ అనుపలక్ష్య రేర్లీ టు బి సీన్ మార్గ పాత్ కర్మాణి యాక్టివిటీస్ చ ఆల్సో ఆత్మమహిమా glories of the Lord himself upanibandhanani in relation to translation purport by his divine grace AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada when the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of kings who have no faith in God the Lord just to diminish the distress of the world descends with his plenary portion the Lord comes in his original form with beautiful black hair and just to expand his transcendental glories he acts extraordinarily no one can properly estimate how great he is purport it's a long purport this verse is especially describing the appearance of lord krishna and his immediate expansion lord baladev both lord krishna and lord baladev are one supreme personality of godhead the lord is omnipotent and he expands himself in innumerable forms and energies and the whole unit is known as the one supreme brahman such extensions of the lord are divided into two divisions namely personal and differential the personal expansions are called the vishnu tattvas and the differential expansions are called the jiva tattvas and in such expansional activity Lord Baladev is the first personal expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Vishnu Puran, as well as in the Mahabharata, both Krishna and Baladev are mentioned as having beautiful black hair, even in their advanced age. The Lord is called Anupalakshya Margaha, or in still more technical Vedic terms, Avang Manasa Gocharaha, one who is never to be seen or realized by the limited sense perception of the people in general. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.25, it is said by the Lord, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. In other words, he reserves the right of not being exposed to anyone and everyone. Only the bona fide devotees can know him by his specific symptoms. And out of many such symptoms, one symptom is mentioned here in this verse, that the Lord is Sita Krishna Keshaha, or one who is observed always with beautiful black hair. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev have such hair on their heads, and thus even in advanced age, they appeared like young boys, 16 years old. That is one particular symptom of the personality of Godhead. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that, although he is the oldest personality among all living entities, he always looks like a new, youthful boy. That is the characteristic of a spiritual body. The material body is symptomized by birth, death, old age and diseases. But the spiritual body is conspicuous by the absence of those symptoms. Living entities who reside in the Vaikuntha Lokas in eternal life and bliss have the same type of spiritual body without being affected by any signs of old age. It is described in the Bhagavatam, Canto 6, that the party of Vishnudutas who came to deliver Ajamil from the clutches of the party of Yamaraj appeared like youthful boys, corroborating the description in this verse. It is ascertained thus that the spiritual bodies in the Vaikuntha Lokas, either of the Lord or of the other inhabitants, are completely distinct from the material bodies of this world. Therefore, when the Lord descends from the world to this world, from that world to this world, he descends in his spiritual body of Atmaya, or internal potency, without any touch of the Bahiranga Maya, or external material energy. The allegation that the impersonal Brahman appears in this material world by accepting a material body is quite absurd. Therefore, the Lord, when He comes here, has not a material body but a spiritual body. The impersonal Brahma Jyoti is only the glaring effulgence of the body of the Lord, and there is no difference in quality between the body of the Lord and the impersonal ray of the Lord called Brahma Jyoti. Now the question is, why the Lord, who is omnipotent, comes here to diminish the burden created upon the world by the unscrupulous kingly order? Certainly, the Lord does not need to come here personally for such purposes, but He actually descends to exhibit His transcendental activities in order to encourage His pure devotees who want to enjoy life by chanting the glories of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:13-14, it is stated that the Mahatmas, great devotees of the Lord, take pleasure in chanting of the activities of the Lord. All Vedic literatures are meant for turning one's attention towards the Lord and His transcendental activities. Thus, the activities of the Lord in His dealings with worldly people create a subject matter for discussion by His pure devotees. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Opika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminidinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Dvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing our discussion with the second canto, the list of incarnation. And today we are on Krishna, the incarnation of Krishna. Technically speaking, Krishna is not an incarnation. Strictly speaking, but Krishna is the one who incarnates. And all others are the incarnations. So Krishna is called the avatari, not an avatar. Although, while mentioning the list of incarnations, Krishna's name is also included many times. So, Prabhupada used to describe Krishna as the all-attractive one. If at all God has to have a name, He explained, the best name is Krishna. Why? Because God attracts everyone. We all are attracted to so many beautiful qualities in a person, like beauty or knowledge or influence, power and strength. So these are naturally attractive qualities. So God has to be the most attractive because He possesses all these qualities in full. So in that sense, His name should be Krishna. Because Krishna means all attractive one. So based on Sanskrit grammatical explanation, Krishna also means blackish, blue-black color. Ganeshyam, Krishna. And the word Krish. Krish technique, the dhatu, Krish means to plow. Say, kheti mein, we do tilling. To plow or to pull in, to draw something towards us. So Krishna means to draw, karshan, to attract. Therefore, you have one name of Krishna as Balaram's name is Sankarshan, one who attracts towards himself. So, if you take the name, if you take the meaning as plowing, then one would think, is Krishna a farmer? So, Krishna is the original cowherd boy, right, in Vrindavan. His whole family are Vaishyas. They are engaged in farming. And Balaram, whose immediate expansion, is always carrying a hull, plow. So in that sense, the term Krishna is applicable to both Krishna and Balaram. The Chaitanya Charitamrita defines this term Krishna. In the Madhya Lila, this verse comes. Krishir bhuvachaka shabdo nascha nirvruti vachakaha tayor aikyam param brahma Krishna ityabhidhiyate. So the word, the translation is the word Krish. Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence. And na in Krishna means spiritual pleasure. So when the word Krish is joined with na, then it becomes Krishna. The all-attractive, absolute truth. The absolute personality of Godhead. So just like a magnet pulls iron filings towards it, so Krishna has this potency or ability to attract all living entities towards Him. In the Gita, Krishna says, Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. So, we already have an inbuilt relationship with Krishna as amshas of Krishna. So naturally we will have a dormant attraction towards Krishna. It is not something artificial. We all have an attraction towards Krishna, but somehow it is covered over. Just like iron filings are covered over rust. When iron filings are covered with rust, then they don't get attracted to the magnet. Right? So when the rust is removed, then they get naturally attracted. Similarly, living entities are covered over with lust and other anarthas. When those anarthas are removed, then the attraction towards Krishna manifests. And we get naturally drawn towards Krishna. In the Krishna book, in that foreword, George Harrison also says the same thing. He says, everybody is looking for Krishna. Some don't realize that they are, but they are. Everybody is looking for Krishna. And Prabhupada makes it even more clear in one lecture. He says, Krishna means all attractive. God has no name, but by His qualities, we give Him names. If a man is very beautiful, we call him beautiful. If a man is very intelligent, we call him wise. So the name is given according to the quality. Because God is all attractive, the name Krishna can be applied only to Him. Krishna means all attractive, it includes everything. In fact, this is an important part of Krishna. The word Bhagavan means one who is complete in all six opulences. A person who has all these opulences in full becomes attractive for others. So in this way, Krishna is described by our acharyas. Not only our acharyas, even other scholars have agreed to this. There is one famous scholar by the name Walter Editz, an Austrian scholar. He does his research on Vaishnavism. But his conclusions are very much according to our Siddhanta. He says, just like the sun, with its physical attractive force attracts the earth and all the planets and make them orbit around the earth, around the sun. Similarly, Krishna, the only son of all spiritual consciousness, attracts all the souls with his unequaled, unparalleled beauty. The force with which physical mass attracts each other is called gravitation. Right? The gravitational law, two masses attracting each other. The power that acts between God and the souls, Atma and Paramatma, is known as prema. This is the scholar's conclusion. So in this way, Krishna has this ability, and the goal of life is to revive this attraction towards Krishna and remove all the anarthas, anything that is blocking us from realizing our attraction towards Krishna and realizing it to the full. So in this verse we find reference to Krishna and Balaram. So who is Balaram? Balaram is often misunderstood, especially by his activities in Mahabharata and other leelas. Although Krishna and Balaram are brothers, Balaram appears as Krishna's elder brother, but sometimes his activities confuse people. Like Krishna is supporting Arjun in the Mahabharata, and Balaram is supporting Duryodhan. Two brothers having totally different opposite opinions. And in many other instances, Balaram appears to go against the will of Krishna. Like during the marriage of Subhadra, Krishna wanted Arjun to marry Subhadra. Balaram wanted Duryodhan to marry Subhadra. But then, that's an added flavor to the whole pastime. And actually, there is no difference in opinion. Balaram is actually trying to enhance the flavor of Krishna's, the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. So who is Balaram and how we understand his identity? Kaviraj Goswami explains in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Vaibhav Prakasha Krishnera Shri Balaram Varnamatra Bheda Sabha Krishnera Saman. So Balaram is described as Vaibhava Prakash, the immediate first expansion of Krishna, who is known as Shri Balaram. And what is the difference? Varna matra bheda. The only difference between Krishna and Balaram is the change of complexion, the color. So Krishna is blackish in complexion and Balaram is whitish like a spring cloud. Blackish like a monsoon cloud and whitish like a spring cloud. Varna matra bheda. That is the only difference between Krishna and Balaram. Sabha Krishnera Saman. Everything else is Krishnera Saman. No difference in between the two. And he says, Vrajay Gopa Bhava Ramera Pure Kshatriya Bhavana Varna Vesha Bheda Tate Vilasa Taranam. Balaram, who has the same original form as Krishna, is himself a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And he also considers himself a member of the Kshatriya race in Dwarka. Thus, his color and dress are different. And he is called a pastime form of Krishna. So both have roles in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, both are cowherd boys dealing with gopas and gopis. And their attire is simple, forest setting, rural setting. Whereas in Dwarka, it's royal grand opulence, palaces and jewelries and all kinds of expensive ornaments and dresses. And there they are Kshatriyas. In Vrindavan, their identity is Vaishya, cowherd boys. And in Dwarka, they are like kingly order Kshatriyas, both of them. And the Bhagavatam says about the two, Etau hi vishvasya chabija yoni Ramo Mukunda Purusha Pradhanam Anviya Bhuteshu Vilakshanasya Jnanasya Cheshata Imau Purano, the oldest. These two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and the womb of the universe, the creator and his creative potency, They enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. They are the primeval supreme. Anviya Bhuteshu. They enter into every living entity's heart and they inspire the conditioned souls to act according to their previous desires and karma. So in this way, Krishna and Balaram are described. Now there are two misconceptions about Krishna and Balaram and the incarnations in general. One misconception that we commonly hear in India especially about avatars in general is how they are very similar to Darwinian theory of evolution. So we know Darwin's theory says that in the beginning of creation there was this unicellular organism known as amoeba, primordial soup, mesenchymal amoeba, and then it gradually, over a period of thousands and millions of years, they became multicellular organisms and aquatics. The body evolved into aquatics and then it evolved into reptiles and other insects, and then evolved into amphibians, and then four-legged animals, and then two-legged humans. Over a period of millions and millions of years, these things evolved. And they say, these theorists say, that Vishnu avatars also evolved in this way. Originally there was Matsya avatar. Then it evolved into Kurma. And then Varaha, amphibian, boar. And then other incarnations, Narasimha, border between animal and human. And then it evolved into Parashuram and Ram and Krishna and Buddha, others. This is the theory. What they don't realize is, although the list of incarnations is given in this form, but all these avatars are appearing in totally different historical time frames. Matsya appeared in 6th Manvantara period, and Narasimha appeared in 1st Manvantara. So it's not exactly evolution. And Varaha also appeared in a different Manvantara. So it's not a chronological sequence, although it's listed like that. So Jayadev Goswami's Dashavatara Stotra and more recently Vadiraj Tirtha and Vedanta Deshika, they also have given a list of Dashavatars. But not to indicate that it is chronological. So this is one common misconception people have. So Prabhupada says in this connection, the Padma Puran provides an example of the idea of evolving consciousness. This traditional text posits the gradual evolution of souls by transmigration through 8,400,000 different forms of life. This process is generally progressive, although reversals are admitted. Remarkably, the evolutionary succession is given as aquatics, plants, insects and reptiles, birds, bees and human beings. This parallels the paleontological succession of marine life, terrestrial life, insects and amphibians, reptiles, birds, advanced mammals and finally humans. The parallelism is so close that the modern Vaishnava teacher Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada saw the Padma Purana as anticipating Darwin's theory of evolution. This is Sadaput Prabhu writing in his book. How Prabhupada connected the two, not exactly to say that both are identical, but to show that there is an evolution of consciousness. The spirit souls evolve through these species, not that the physical body of this organisms evolve. The species are already existing. The design of the species are already existing. But the living entities evolve as they grow. After death, they go to another higher species and then higher species. In this way, they go through all 8,400,000 species of life, finally coming to the stage of human being where it's a junction point from where either they can go to higher planets, higher species, they can fall down again to lower species, or they can escape the whole cycle of birth and death. Go back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. So in this way, this misconception is refuted by our Vaishnava Acharyas. There is another misconception about the incarnation, especially about Krishna and Balaram, which is based on this verse, this phrase, Sita Krishna Keshaha, the second line, Sita Krishna Keshaha. So what many scholars say is, Lord Vishnu, Shirodakashai Vishnu, when he wanted to incarnate, he removed two strands of hair from his chest. One white hair and a black hair. And these two hairs took birth on earth in the womb of Devaki and Rohini. So white hair was Balaram, white hair became Balaram, the black hair became Krishna. Interesting, right? Interesting theory. Anything can be speculated out of anything. So, and therefore we have Krishna and Balaram, avatars of Vishnu. So our acharyas give a different explanation. Jiva Goswami says, first of all, this theory is baseless. Why? Because Vishnu never grows old to have white hair. Right? Old people get white hair, grey hair. Vishnu is Nava Yavanam. How can he have a white hair? And secondly, the Bhagavatam says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. After giving a list of all incarnations, Suta Goswami quotes this, cites this verse saying, Ete Cham Shakalapam Sa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Vishnu is also included in the list. First he begins with list, he begins with Mahavishnu and other Vishnus. And the end he says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So how can Krishna be an avatar of Vishnu? Krishna is the origin of all avatars. So why would Vishnu have to remove two strands of white hair, to produce Krishna and Balaram? So what exactly is this phrase, Sita Krishna Keshaha? Swarupa Goswami says, explains, Krishna Keshaha, black hair. Krishna is black, Keshaha is hair. Krishna Keshaha means black, beautiful blackish hair. Sita Krishna Keshaha means nicely combed black hair. So when the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of kings who have no faith in God, the Lord, just to diminish the distress of the world, descends in his original form with beautiful black hair neatly tied on his head. The Lord is the most expert of all artists, and just to expand his transcendental glories, he performs many graceful and extraordinary pastimes. No one can properly estimate how great he is. That is Sita Krishna Keshaha. Some other theories may be there about Krishna and Balaram, which I am not aware of. So, Krishna and Balaram, Krishna especially, the original form of Godhead, is all attractive. And the 10th canto Krishna book describes a very nice story of how Krishna is all attractive. There is a very nice famous story of in Dwarka, how there was one Brahmana who one day complained to the king, Ugrasen, saying that whenever my child is born, he immediately dies within a few minutes. So first child was born and suddenly the child disappears. And he would go to the king, Ugrasen, saying, my child is dying because you are not a fit ruler of the kingdom. That time the Brahmanas had the adhikar to complain to the king. If there is any problem in society, they would blame the king. And the king would accept the blame. So if the child is dying, who is responsible? The king is responsible, according to this Brahmana. And Ugrasen hears the complaint, he is unable to do anything. Then the next child is born. Again the child dies. Third child, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth child. All eight children die as soon as the children are born. So when the eighth child died, and when the Brahmana went to the king and complained, at that time Arjun was there. Arjun happened to visit Dwarka and spend time there. So Arjun heard this complaint and he saw how this Brahmana is accusing everyone, Krishna and Balaram and all others, for the death of the children. So he couldn't tolerate. So he said, okay, next time when your child is about to be born, call me. I will ensure that the child doesn't die. I'll give nice protection and let me see who dares to take away your child. So time came, ninth child was about to be born, and he called Arjun. He had doubts whether Arjun can really do that, because all other eight children died in spite of Krishna and Balaram's presence, Pradyumna and Aniruddha's presence, all these great warriors are present, still the child couldn't survive. What is Arjun going to do? He had these doubts. But still, Arjun bragged about his prowess and he thought, okay, let Arjun give a try. And Arjun had said that if I am unable to protect your child, I will enter into fire. I will commit suicide. So time came, everything is set. The child is about to win. What Arjun does is he creates a nice kavach, a shield of arrows around his house, around that place where the child was about to be born. And finally, the child is born. And within a few minutes, the child disappears, in spite of all this protection. And the Brahman starts again complaining. What a fool I am, I put my faith in this Arjun. When great warriors like Krishna and Balaram and Pradyumna, they couldn't protect my child, this Arjun claims that he can protect my child. And I am such a fool that I believed in his words. In this way he started lamenting. So Arjun also felt bad. And because he had promised that he is going to end his life if he cannot protect the child, he decides, he starts creating the funeral, the pyre, and is about to enter. And Krishna says, wait, stop. I'll help you. And both of them get onto the chariot, and Krishna says, we'll go to one place. And then they start flying high into the sky. And the Bhagavatam describes how they cross over all seven oceans on the Bhumandal, seven islands and seven oceans, and they go beyond the Loka mountain, and then enter into dense darkness. This is all beyond the universal coverings. The universe has seven coverings, they penetrate into that, and there is dense darkness everywhere, and the horses, the four horses of Krishna's chariot, they, in the darkness, they are unable to see how to move forward. So Krishna takes a Sudarshan Chakra and illuminates the entire area. And the horses again continue marching ahead. Finally, they reach an area where it is complete effulgence. The Brahman effulgence. Bright light. And then they finally enter a region. It's very beautiful. Anantashesh is lying down in the causal ocean. And in that Anantashesh, they see Lord Mahavishnu lying down and Lakshmiji serving him. And Arjun is beholding all this and is wonderstruck. Looking at Krishna's ability to penetrate and the huge form of Anantashesh and Mahavishnu. And so they go there and they have a conversation. Krishna and Mahavishnu have a conversation. So Mahavishnu says, I brought the Brahmana sons here because I wanted to see the two of you, Krishna and Arjun. My expansions, you are my expansions, who have descended to the earth to save the principles of religion. as soon as you finish killing the demons who burden the earth, quickly come back here to me. Although all your desires are completely fulfilled, for the benefit of the people in general, you should continue to exemplify religious behavior as the sages Nara Narayan. Is Mahavishnu telling Krishna and Arjun. Thus instructed by the Supreme Lord, Krishna and Arjun assented by chanting Om, and then they bowed down to Almighty Lord Mahavishnu, and they retrieve all the 10 sons of Brahmana. They get all the sons. They return with great delight to Dwarka along the same path, and there they go to the Brahmana and present all the 10 children to the Brahmana. The same child form. Not that they had grown 10 years old. The first child had grown 10 years. All 10 children. So having seen this domain of Lord Vishnu, Arjun was totally amazed. He concluded that whatever extraordinary power a person exhibits can only be a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. And then our acharyas describe what are Arjun's thoughts after going through all this experience. He asks several questions within himself and he comes to an answer, comes to a conclusion. So our acharyas explain Arjun's thought process. So Arjun is thinking, just see, even though I am a mere mortal, by Krishna's grace, I have seen the Supreme Personality, Supreme Godhead, the root of everything, the root cause of everything. And then Arjun thinks, but why did Lord Vishnu say that he took away the Brahmana's children out of a desire to see Krishna? Vishnu wanted to see Krishna. Why? Why would the Supreme Lord hanker to see his own expansion? Right? Mahavishnu and Krishna are expansions of each other. This might be the effect of some peculiar temporary circumstance. Because the word used in the shloka, in the 10th canto, is didrukshuna and not didrukshata. Like we have anyabhilashita, didrukshata. So Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur explains, the word used is didrukshuna, not didrukshata. Didrukshata indicates a temporary desire to see Krishna. Whereas didrukshuna indicates always eager to see Krishna. So Mahavishnu is always eager to see Krishna. Which means Mahavishnu is always attracted to Krishna. Not just one fine day he developed an attraction to see Krishna. He is eternally attracted to see Krishna. Theek hai, Arjun thinks, even if Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna, why wouldn't he directly come to Dwarka? Why does he have to kidnap the children and then call Krishna to to his abode? He could have directly entered into Dwarka and get an audience with Krishna. And another question he gets, why would he torture a Brahmana in Dwarka? Vishnu is Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Brahma, he is dear to the Brahmanas. Why would he give pain to a Brahmana family just to take darshan of Krishna? These are the Arjun's questions in his mind. So he concludes that Krishna inspired Vishnu to steal the Brahmana's children so that Krishna can go and give darshan to Vishnu. In this way, he concludes his thoughts and expresses gratitude. Because of Krishna's grace, I could travel all this distance and get to see Vishnu, and that Krishna is my dear friend. Such a close associate of mine. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds another comment. He says, it's not that Krishna went all the way to Vishnu's abode to retrieve the children so that he could satisfy the Brahmanas. That is one reason. But a deeper reason, Krishna tells Arjuna, is more than protecting the children, I wanted to save your life, O Arjuna. you are such a dear friend of mine, I went to that abode not just to save the Brahmana's children, but to protect you, your life. So when Arjun hears this, he is full of gratitude and appreciation for Krishna. Krishna does to such an extent, he goes to such an extent to save me, save my life. All this whole event, incident, happened just to save Krishna, Arjuna's life. So it says, Mad darshanartham te bala hritastena mahatmana viprartham eshate krishno mat samipam nachanyatha. It was to see me that he, the super soul, stole the children, he believed. Only on a Brahmana's behalf will Krishna come to see me, not otherwise. So to protect the Brahmana's children, and a deeper reason to protect Arjuna's life, Krishna went all the way to Mahavishnu's abode. So in this way, this pastime proves that Krishna is all attractive, and Krishna is the source of all incarnations also, including Mahavishnu. And everything else is a kala or amsha, plenary expansion of Krishna. And the Gita Krishna says, Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam shri madurchitam evava. Every beautiful opulence, anything that you see opulence in this world, is just a spark of my splendor. So in the purport, Prabhupada talks about the miseries of material suffering. How a living entity, he says, a living entity is going through suffering the pangs of material existence, janma, mrityu, birth, old age, disease and death, symptomized by birth, old age, disease, death. But the spiritual body is conspicuous by the absence of these symptoms. So Krishna and Balarams, their bodies are spiritual, but material body is symptomized by these characteristics. In Kulashekar's prayers, he writes, Idam shariram parinama peshalam patatyavashyam shatasandhi jarjaram. This body, he says, is parinama peshalam, always bound to change, going through transformations every moment. And patatyavashyam, this body is going to break away, break down one day into hundreds and thousands of pieces. Shatasandhi jarjaram, all these joints and other things will break down. Kim aushadham prichasi mooda durmate. So to maintain and treat this body, we take so many pills and medicines and tonics just to maintain this body, which is bound to break down, fall apart. Kim aushadham? Kulashekar is asking, why are you running after so many medicines to maintain this body? Why not take Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba? Why don't, oh fool, Mooda Durmate, why don't you drink the elixir of life? Niramayam, disease free, Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Drink this Rasayan medicine known as Krishna. Piva Manak Sri Krishna Divyaushadham, another place he says. So in this way, Kulashekar is describing how one can attain permanent eternal bodies. And Lord Chaitanya exemplified this during his stay in Jagannath Puri. Always absorbed in Krishna's thoughts. One time he goes to take darshan of Jagannath and he asks the security there, can you tell me where is Krishna? In that heightened mood of ecstasy, he is asking, please tell me where is Krishna? The security guard catches hold of his hand. And he says, come, I'll show you. And he goes to, takes him to Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, and says, this is Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya sees Jagannath as Krishna, the coward boy in Vrindavan. And then he thanks the security guard. Thank you so much. You have fulfilled all my desire. So in this way, Mahaprabhu teaches us by the example how one can always remain absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in thoughts of Krishna, and in this attain perfection of our life. Thank you so much for your kind attention. I'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you.